practice.
I think one of the remarkable things about this thing is what a kill ratio it had, and it didn't even enter the war until 1944, late 43 or 44.
I think that's the training, but, you know, as Mark knows from flying it so much, you take a lower time, and he trained me, so I blame him for my landings. But, you know, you can take somebody who's a lower time pilot, and relative to these two guys, I'm a civilian trained, low time guy who flies a desk for a living and not airliners. It was a plane that, with a few hundred hours in T6s, you could translate. And I mean, you see guys training in it all the time.
Yeah, I've done 22 checkouts for guys in the Mustang, and two of them are right here today. But it's one of those airplanes that if you could fly the T6 well, the transition to the Mustang is truly just a transition. I'm not actually teaching somebody to fly the airplane. It's just coaching them, is what I call it, into the...
But in all fairness, now, these planes that we fly, whether it's Zach in the 86 or either of these planes, they were designed for combat. You know, this wasn't for the Sunday driver that you give a whole lot of buffet in case somebody messes up. You get to the point where this plane, more so the Mustang, but you stall that thing, and it'll just bite you hard. So, that's where accidents happen. And we do hear with all that power with both airplanes, a lot of people say, well, gee, you know, you push that throttle forward, and doesn't it torque roll? If you're insane, yes, but, you know, nobody's trained to do that. I will tell you, my first flight in the Corsair was out of Mark's personal airport, beautiful grass strip in upstate New York that has a little bit of a hill that I call Mount Everest. He calls it a hill. And I've never really hesitated after good training to fly an airplane. You can't see anything over that nose. The airport sort of pinches in with big, tall trees on either side. And I hesitated. I said, what am I doing here? Yeah. And one of the few planes where he finally said, you know what, just push it forward and we'll make it happen. And that was my first Corsair flight.
Well, what do you guys, Tim, give me the typical armament this would have in the escort. As an escort, because it's completely different than air to ground work.
It was an effective air to ground, but it had the weakness of a water cooled or a radiator. And, you know, one lucky shot and your day is ruined. A plane like this, you could take out a cylinder, and there's all kinds of stories that they would still make it back to the carrier. A typical combat mission, and I'll tell you first now, Mark's, you know, only 25, I'm a little bit older than that. You sit in this plane, we were flying up here yesterday from down south, and after 2 hours, you were ready to jump out of the thing if we weren't landing soon. So these young guys who were flying 5, 6, 7 hours to Berlin and back, just incredible. But a typical loadout was drop tanks to have the fuel to make it as far as you could, and then 6 50 caliber machine guns that just a tremendous punch to it.
Well, now they had completely different missions, but I'll put you on the spot. Which did you like best?
For me, it's the Mustang. I've got 1,200 hours in a P-51. It's home for me. I just love flying it.
Most people that flew 51 will say that.
It is. You know, I get to fly a lot of different ones.
I love that Corsair.
He loves the Corsair.
Such a beast. You can open the canopy. Yeah. The only thing is I get older, climbing up and down in that cockpit and that dripping radial engine. The Mustang, I'll grant it, is a little more.
And we have both fallen off the wing before,
you're not supposed to.
I know.
How about the difference in the A, B, C, and D on the 51?
So I've flown the B and the C and the D. I've not flown the A model, but pretty much the same. Stall characteristics are different on the B and the C. That's the, I've done some training in them, and I've had twice where the student actually pulled a little too hard on the top of a loop, and the airplane unhooked, and we did a half of a snap roll on the top of a loop, which that'll get your attention in any airplane, especially a P-51.
And the earlier, the visibility.
The visibility was not as good as it is with the bubble canopy. It had the canopy with the side door that would latch, and one time we had that unlatch during flight, which again that kind of stuff gets your attention, where the new bubble canopy, you just roll it forward, and you know, great visibility, great flying airplane.
Zach, let's talk a little bit about this F-86, everybody's favorite airplane.
It is my favorite airplane.
Well, it is a lot of people, the 51 and the 86, but tell us about this, the airplane, this little bit of specs on it, range on it, thrust, whatever.
Well, the book says it'll go about 1,000 miles when it has the big drop tanks. We got the small drop tanks on here at 120-gallon drop tanks. With the 200-gallon drop tanks, it's It's supposed to go about 1,000. We just got this out of restoration about 60 days ago. So we're taking baby steps up to really find out what the range of the aircraft would be. We've flown it 400, 450 at lower altitudes and are working our way up. So armament's got 650 cals, which we've restored. Obviously, they're mock-up guns, but we actually got the feeds and all that stuff.
Why not real stuff?
that ATF, you know.
Well, you're in Florida. So I understand there was 9,800 built. How many do you think are still flying about?
I think the last time I looked, there was 8, and about half those aren't in a position to fly right now. So I think there's 4 in the United States that are 4 or 5 that are flyable today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How about it? Did it service mission well?
The F-86, yes, it did a really good job. I mean, Korea is where it really showed itself. And I want to talk a little bit about the paint job. And
well, we'll get
there.
Yeah,
oh, get there in a second?
Yeah, that's number 6 down
right,
there.
Jumped ahead. Okay.
All right. Well, tell us about it was called the last true dogfighter and what the kill ratio was.
Yeah, the Korean War, I don't remember the kill ratio exactly.
10-1.
10-1, which is right up there with our other aircraft. And the other question was?
Why was it called the last dogfighter, true dogfighter?
No missiles. It has guns, so that's why they call it the last gunfighter.
All right, now let's talk about the paint job and who it's dedicated to.
Okay, it's as we talked about earlier with our foundation, we try to identify a person and the person that flew that aircraft, and then honor that person. George Davis is the person. You'll see his name on the left side of the airplane. He was a Medal of Honor winner and what's called an Ace of Aces. He was an ace in World War II in the P-51, and he was an ace in the Korean War. By the time that he passed away, he had 21 kills or 21 victories total. And at that time, when he passed away, he was one of the most famous aces of all time during the Korean War. And is actually, if you look up his history, it shows that Russians, Chinese, and the Koreans were actually gunning for him because of all the publicity he was getting. At that time, we generally, the rule was if you became an ace in the Korean War, you were immediately retired and sent back home because now you're a war hero. Well, they didn't want to bring him back because his style and his kill ratio was so high. The story that really impressed us with George Davis was he was engaged in a fight with 15 MiG-15s over Korea. He had got two bombers, one fighter, and he was returning to base, and one of his buddies was engaged with 2 MiGs on his tail and was getting shot up. He turned, re-engaged, shot one of the MiGs, disengaged the other while 24 MiGs were in pursuit, and he made it back to base, landing on fumes. The citation, the Silver Star citation from that reads 5 gallons on board. And anyone's ever flown a Sabre jet, you don't want to be at 5 gallons, trust me. So we really like that. So the day he became of Ace of Aces, he was flying Misbehaving. So this aircraft, I have to write it down because I can't memorize it. It's a 34th Fighter Squadron, 4th Fighter Wing, and the 5th Air Force, Misbehaving. This was the we painted this aircraft in honor and matched his paint scheme on that day. So,
okay, let's talk a little bit about the aces. We had 40 aces in Korea.
Right.
And 39 of them were in this airplane.
Correct.
A like airplane. Had one in the Corsair. And this is just a little bit of information. It was a Navy night fighter. His name was Guy de Bordelon, and he shot down 5 airplanes with that. Okay, thanks, guys. We're going to have a little question and answer here, just if I can get somebody with the mics out here. Anybody got a question? Well, if not, we thank you for showing. Okay.
Sabre ever used as a ground pounder?
You mean as air to ground? Yes, it could carry 1,000-pound bombs on the outboard wing, up to 1,000-pound bombs. They would use it, but it was mainly an air superiority type fighter.
Well, nothing further. We want to thank you, folks. Please show up again.